We open our Bibles to the 19th chapter of Luke's Gospel. What a wonderful thing it is, dear friends, that though a new year began at midnight last night, a new year began, we have the same old story as we had last year, the story of Jesus and His love. The 19th chapter of Luke's Gospel and the first 10 verses. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be the guest, with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. This is a very beautiful portion of God's Word. I must admit, it's one of my favorites. Oh, it brings the glorious gospel, the truth of Jesus before our souls on this New Year's Day. We notice that God tells us in this first verse those wonderful words, and Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. That's a wonderful statement. I remember some years ago, I think it was in Montreal, if I remember correctly, our brother, Mr. C.H. Brown, turned us to this 19th chapter of Luke, and he read this account that I have read, and then he spoke only on that first verse. The whole hour he spent on that first verse. He never got any further than the first verse. What a wonderful verse that is. Because Jericho is a picture of this world. It's a type of this very world in which we live tonight. And isn't it a wonderful thing that Jesus entered into this world? Oh, I think of men as we read in the press and different other times we read about the other planets. There's millions of them in space. And people are wondering, I wonder if man live on Mars. I wonder if man live on these other planets way above in space. Well, we don't know. I don't know. You don't know. I don't think anybody knows. But there's one thing we do know. Thank God we know this. That the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came to this planet where you and I are because He loves us. Isn't that wonderful? He came down from heaven. He said many times in the 6th chapter of John, I came down from heaven. And that blessed one came to this world. He entered this world and he passed through this world sin apart. Oh, dear boys and girls, if you had been here, or I had been here in those days, and we looked down the street and we saw the Lord Jesus coming down the street, we could have said, Do you see that man? Yes, we see him. He made the world. He made the universe. He made all those planets. He made everything. There he is. He's walking down the road. He's a man. God became a man in the person of Jesus so that he might whisper in your ear and my ear, God loves you. And then go to the cross and die on that cross for poor sinners that he might prove that love that he had for poor, wretched sinners such as you and me. Now it tells us There was a man named Zacchaeus here in Jericho. You know, I believe that the Lord Jesus had an appointment that day with Zacchaeus. He was to meet Zacchaeus, for nothing happened in the Lord's life by chance, nothing. Neither does it happen in your life or mine if we are Christians. But the blessed Lord Jesus had an appointment with Zacchaeus that day. I suppose Zacchaeus got up that day as usual and had his breakfast, but he didn't realize that that was the day he was going to meet Jesus. And maybe you got up this morning and said to your mother and father, Happy New Year, but maybe you weren't happy. Oh, there's millions of people today in this country and in the north and throughout the world who said Happy New Year, but they weren't happy at all. They didn't know anything about happiness. Oh, beloved friends, I honestly believe that only the Christian is really happy. Men may say I'm happy, but down here there's an empty void that only Christ can fill. They're really not happy at all. And this poor man here, Zacchaeus, that we're told about him in this 19th chapter of Luke's Gospel, because God knows all about him, as he knows all about you too. Notice what he says here in this second verse. Behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was a chief among the publicans, and he was rich. Now notice, God knew his name, God knew his job, and God knew his financial standing. He knew all about Zacchaeus, and he knows all about you. You know, his name began with Z in Canada and Z in the United States. Zacchaeus, the last letter in the alphabet. But you know, there was a man in the Old Testament, he was also a believer. His name was Adam. The other one's name was Abraham. And so we have the whole alphabet from A to Z, A to Z, and Christ can save everybody, no matter what your name is tonight, John or James or Mary or Nancy, no matter what your name is, Christ is able to save you tonight. And this man, his name is given, he was chief among the publicans. That was his job. He was no doubt a tax collector, and therefore a very unpopular man in that land. And God has these words, he was rich. Now I know there's many people today, maybe there's some in this room, maybe there's some lady here tonight or some man, and you are just like Zacchaeus. You've got a job, you've got a name, and maybe you've got a good bank account, maybe you've got money, but you know you're not happy. And you're trying to find happiness. Everybody's trying to find happiness. Often in the city of Montreal, I've stood at the corner of Windsor Street and St. Catherine and watched those hundreds and hundreds of people that went by and looked into their faces, trying to see if we might detect something of happiness in their faces. Very, very few look happy. Some look worried. Some look afraid. Some are talking to their friends with their... They look as if their faces are drawn, as if they're carrying the weight of the world on their shoulders. They're not happy, but they're trying to find happiness. Everybody's trying to find happiness. My friend, are you here tonight, and you're trying to find happiness, and you can't find it in America. You can't find it here in America. You can't find it if you go to another country to the north or across the ocean into Europe. You just can't find it. It's not there. Happiness is found in a person, and that person is the one who came to Zacchaeus. Oh, dear boys and girls, are you saved tonight? Many, many times the gospel has been preached from this very platform. I remember 2 years ago being here, and I remember 5 years ago we were in this district. Maybe some were here on those occasions. You've been here many times since, and here you are. You know the way of salvation. You're not like this Chinese away in the interior of China who've never heard of Jesus. You've heard of it 1,000 times. I remember riding on the bus of my wife from Pittsburgh to Philadelphia. And on that bus, there was a man sitting opposite. And my wife said to me, I think that man's a Christian. He looks like if he's reading Christian books. And he was. We found out after he was a real Christian. And this is what he told me, and I thought ever since, what a shame. What a shame for those who have been brought up among us in Christian homes and who have grown up now 12 years of age, 14, 16, and are unsaved. This man told us this. The first time I ever heard the gospel, I received Christ on the spot. Just imagine, the first time I ever heard the gospel, I received Christ that very night. You've heard about Christ hundreds of times. Maybe thousands of times you've heard about Jesus. Oh, dear friends, I don't think that Zacchaeus ever saw Jesus before the 19th chapter of Luke record. But this was the last chance that Zacchaeus had. This was his last chance. Friend, did you ever stop to think what it's going to be like when the Lord comes and you're left behind? It's a terrible thought. I've often sat down and thought about it myself. Try to picture myself as an unsaved man. I remember when I was working, I used to think about this. Coming home at night, the house empty, nobody there. Where are they gone? They've gone to be with Christ. You know, that day is coming as sure as we're living tonight. When there's going to be so many boys and girls and young men, young ladies who are going to say, I waited too long. I took a chance and I lost. Well, Zacchaeus, you see, was an earnest. And friends, tonight you just can't find earnest people. I suppose, my friends, that the reason we can't find earnest people is because everything is foolish now. You know, the programs they put on, I understand, they're all foolishness. Men are paid $100,000 a year to be fools, just to make up jokes. I understand that they have men, that's all they do all the time, is write jokes to make people laugh. And that's how they spend their lives. And that's why there's no people tonight who are serious. You hardly ever see people crying. You hardly ever see people cry. It's old-fashioned to cry. If you cry, you're a baby. You're a sissy, they say. Oh, to cry. Anybody that they can cry. But you know, I understand in the old days when all these old preachers preached the gospel that men and women wept right in their seats. They just wept. And I understand that in London, England, when a certain preacher used to stand up to preach the gospel, this is hard to believe. We can hardly believe this here tonight. But nevertheless, I've heard this, that men and women just dropped out of their seats. Can you imagine that? And they looked up to heaven and they said, oh, God, save us. And they wept. But you never see that today. Hardly ever see men crying, women crying about their sins, about the fact they're lost. Because we live in a silly age when everything is jokes. You'll pardon if I've told you this story before. I visited a man in the hospital. Everything was a joke to him. Everything you said, he turned into a joke. Well, he's in eternity now. Poor fellow. He said to me, the reason I tell those jokes is to cover up what's inside. And you know, there's multitudes in the United States tonight who are just like that man. They're covering up. They're trying to pretend they're funny. They're covering up what's inside, that poor, longing heart for something they can't find. I believe Zacchaeus was this kind of a man. Notice what it tells us in the third verse. He sought to see Jesus, who he was. Isn't that good? Who is this person? Jesus. We hear his name. If we go down the street, we just passed a building down along the street here. His name was right on the billboard. Jesus Christ, it said, the Savior. His name is all over the place. We see his name in the press. I have it in my pocket here. Someplace, a shocking story I found in one of the Canadian papers about Jesus. Terrible blasphemy. His name is all over the place. But who is Jesus? Let me tell you, my friend, who Jesus is. First of all, like a little boy just told me at the back of the room, he said he's the Son of God. And his father said, that's a good answer. Indeed it was. He's the Son of God. And he's the eternal Son of God. He had no beginning, absolutely no beginning. He ever was and ever shall be God himself, God the Son of God. And he became a man. He was born of a virgin, sin apart. He had no sin. He knew no sin. He did no sin. the Son of God. He walked through this world. Oh, isn't that a wonderful thought for your heart and mind, dear Christian? For this very world in which we live tonight, Jesus walked across, and then Palestine, Jesus was there. He walked there through that land. And he went to the cross of Calvary, and nailed to that cross, he finished the work of redemption during those 3 hours of darkness when he was forsaken of God as a sin bearer. He bowed his head in death. He gave up his life. It's wonderful, isn't it? He dismissed his spirit. He had the power to lay down his life. And he had the power to take his life again. He rose from among the dead. A glorious man in resurrection, he went back into heaven and he sat at the right hand of God, a prince and a savior. That's who Jesus is. And he's coming again very, very soon. This may well be the last night you'll ever hear the gospel preached. You may never, never hear it again, for the Lord may come tonight. Friend, what a solemn thing. Are you saved tonight? Have you got the forgiveness of your sins? Have you got peace with God? Are you in Christ? Are you under the shelter of the blood of Jesus? Oh, dear friends, are you right with God tonight? He stopped to see Jesus, who he was. Now notice, he could not for the press because he was little of stature. You see, the devil always has ways of keeping people from Christ. Often when we pray for the gospel meeting like this, we say, Lord, we know the devil tonight is working in people's hearts to keep them away from the gospel. Man will make any kind of an excuse to stay away from the gospel. We tell the Lord, let them come tonight. Bring them in. Bring them in to hear the gospel. The devil had all this settled with Zacchaeus. He was a little man, small. He couldn't see over that great crowd that was there. What could he do? Nothing was going to stop Zacchaeus. Nothing was going to stop this man. He was determined to see who Jesus was. Now, friends, I call that an earnest man. What do you call it? I call that a man who was real. A man who was determined that the devil wasn't going to stop Zacchaeus. He was going to see Jesus. I wonder if there's a boy here tonight, a young man. You know, you always feel sorry for young men. Because young boys, when they get to be 14, 15, 16, I know from personal experience, they like to stand in front of the mirror and show their muscles. And they think, you know, because they're strong and they're gaining weight and they're getting heavier and stronger, that they're going to live for another 75 years. They think, oh, well, I've nothing to worry about. I've got a years ahead of me yet. I'll think about Jesus when I get to be an old cripple and I'm in the old folks' home and I can't do anything else. Then it's time to get saved then. But now I'm young and strong and healthy. I want to enjoy life. Oh, there's lots of people who are going to be in hell who talk that way. Lots of people are going to be in hell who talk that way. I remember reading a story about a football player, about 6'2", 195 pounds, and he went to a gospel meeting, something like this, and God spoke to that man, and he said, I must become a Christian. I have to become a Christian. He told the preacher after, he said, sir, listen, tonight I long to be a Christian, but he said, unfortunately, next Saturday night, we're having our football dance. And he said, I promise you faithfully, I'll come back next Sunday night and I'll receive Christ then, I promise you. And he went away, he was warned. You know that next week he was hit and hurt very, very badly, and he was on his deathbed, and they saw his lips moving. And somebody got down and put their ear beside his mouth, and they heard him say these words, I could have been saved but for that dance. I could have been saved, but for that dance. He sold his soul. And my friends, there's many like him who say no to Christ, no to Christ, no to Christ, until the last time comes and they're lost for eternity. There was a verse that used to trouble me before I was saved. It used to really trouble me, and that was this verse in the 6th chapter of Genesis. My spirit shall not always strive with man. That verse made me afraid, because I heard a preacher say, If God stopped striving with man, he'll go to hell. And I was afraid that God would stop striving with my soul. Maybe there's a boy here tonight. You're like that. You're just like I was. You're going to enjoy life. You're going to have a great time in life. Or a girl, too. And, oh, dear boy and girl, you've heard the voice of God. The Lord has spoken to you. And you know you should have been a Christian. But you said, oh, God is long-suffering. I haven't got to worry about this. Why, there's lots of time. Who says there's lots of time? The devil. Always remember, the devil always says tomorrow. I was just reading the book of Exodus this past week. When the frogs came to the land of Egypt, and when Pharaoh, horrified with the frogs in the bed, in the bread, in the soup, wherever they ate, there were dead frogs and frogs swimming around in the soup, in the food. And Pharaoh said to Moses, remove the frogs. And Moses said, when? And he said, tomorrow. Why did he say tomorrow? I believe that Pharaoh was the devil's man. And the devil always says tomorrow. But God always says today. Right in this chapter, he says, today I must abide at thy house. No such a thing as tomorrow. God says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Notice now this fourth verse. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. Now this is a very humbling thing for a rich man to climb a tree. We don't see rich men climbing trees. They're too proud to climb trees. Here was a man, therefore, that was in earnest. He wanted to see Jesus. He didn't care what people said about him. Didn't care whether his neighbors saw him climbing a tree or not. He was determined he was going to see Jesus. And my friend tonight, are you like this? Is there an earnest person in this room who longs to be saved, who can't find peace or happiness or rest, and you're here tonight and you just can't find that rest, that peace that Christ can offer you? You follow this man's example. Oh, there he was up in that sycamore tree, hiding in those thick leaves, I understand. And he thought, what a grand view I have here. I'm going to be able to look down. I'm going to have a grand view of Jesus. Now in the fifth verse, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up. Oh, he looked up, friend. Just imagine, when the eyes of Zacchaeus met the Savior's eyes, he looked up and saw him. And said unto him, Zacchaeus. He knew his name, you see. Here was God, this blessed one. He knew all about Zacchaeus. He created Zacchaeus. He made Zacchaeus. And he made the heart of Zacchaeus. And he made that heart as he made your heart. So there's nothing under heaven can satisfy your heart but the God who made your heart. Isn't it wonderful that God has made us so that nothing in the world will satisfy fully the heart, but the very God who made the heart. And there was Zacchaeus up the tree. Make haste, he said. Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. The first step, notice, Zacchaeus, he knew his name. And he says, make haste. Now, why does he say that? Oh, friends, there's no time to waste. No time. Boys and girls here, the children of Christian parents, you young men, young ladies who are here tonight, are you saved? Did you make haste and come down? Make haste. Never before. I'm sure, I've often thought of Mr. Darby, Mr. Kelly, and these men could come back today to Los Angeles just for 5 minutes. They'd be astonished if they saw the condition of this world today. Oh, the terrible things that are happening right in this city. The awful things that are happening all through the American cities, the Canadian cities, that make us afraid. Can you imagine being afraid to walk on the streets? Why, men have told me in their homes, don't go out at night. Stay in the house. Don't take a chance on the streets. You think you're in wild Africa where the beasts and the lions and tigers were roaming around, but I say there's worse far than lions and tigers roaming around our streets tonight. Why is this? The coming of the Lord draweth nigh. And the world's getting worse and worse and worse, just as God said it. My friend tonight, I say this, And God says it, and I speak reverently, God says it, I should say first, and I believe it, that this world, as far as this world is concerned, we have nothing to say about it that's hopeful. Absolutely nothing to say about this present world that's hopeful, except this, that you've got to leave it and come to Christ. You've got to come to Christ. You've got to say, goodbye, old world, I'm going to Jesus. That's the only way of salvation. You've got to leave it, my friend. It's a sinking ship. It's going down. And there's nobody can fix it. There's nobody can repair it. It's doomed. It's going down under the judgment of God. It's going to get worse. At the end of this year, if we're left here, dear Christian, you'll see things that'll be far worse than the beginning. It's going to get worse and worse, just as God said. Hopelessly lost this world is. And so Jesus said, make haste and come down for today. Notice, that's God's word today. The devil's word, tomorrow. God's word is today. Today I must. Here's one of the musts our brother spoke about the other night. Ye must be born again. The Son of Man must be lifted up. But here is something else. I must abide at thy house. Now, Zacchaeus had received the invitation, just as you've received the invitation many times, to come down to Jesus. You see, man's got to come down. This is the hardest thing that man has to do in connection with, they say, getting saved. We know we don't have to do anything to get saved, but there's one thing we really have to do is to come down. We have to come down, as the old porter said to me on the train. In the world, we're taught to go up and up and up. But Jesus teaches us to come down, down, down to the very foot of the cross, and then looking up into his blessed face, then we begin to go up. Such is the truth of God. We have to come down to get up. And Zacchaeus had to come down. You know, friends, we have to humble ourselves. We have to say, I have sinned. It's very easy to say, everybody sins. It's very easy for each one of us to stand up and say, well, every man under heaven has sinned. That's a very easy thing to say. But isn't it hard to say, I have sinned? You know, that's the first step to blessing. You'll never get saved till you take that step. And here was Zacchaeus up the tree. Now notice what it says in the sixth verse. First of all, we have his obedience. He made haste. He obeyed the very word of Christ. He made haste. Second, he came down. And third, he received him. And fourth, he received him joyfully. Isn't that lovely? He received a person. He didn't receive religion. He didn't receive church membership. He didn't join into a meeting. He received a person. And this is what salvation is. To receive a person. This person has won our hearts. People say often when we used to be at work, what does your church teach about this and teach about that? Well, friends, no such a thing as our church teaching anything. We have found a person who has attracted us to himself, and that person is the Lord Jesus Christ. He received him. Isn't that beautiful? And God has recorded this in his book about Zacchaeus. Received him joyfully. How could he receive him any other way? No other way to receive Jesus, but to receive him joyfully, because when you receive him, then he starts the joy bells ringing. The joy bells in the heart begin to ring when the sinner receives him. Now verse 7. And when they saw, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. You see, the charge is laid against Christ. The world hates the Lord Jesus. Oh, dear friend, tonight if you're here and you've never heard the gospel before, I will say this to you. If you receive Christ, you will really be happy. But I'll tell you this, you won't be popular in the world. Don't expect the man in the office tomorrow to shake hands with you and give three cheers because you accepted Christ. The world doesn't want Jesus. The world doesn't want Christ. Oh, people say, well, they celebrated his birthday on Saturday. A week ago today, millions of people celebrated his birthday. What did Christ really mean to them? What did Christ really mean to them? In Canada, they sell millions and millions of dollars worth of liquor on the week of December the 18th to the 25th. What a shocking thing it is to think that men get drunk on the very birthday of the sinless Son of God. They celebrate, they say, the birthday of the Son of God. Think of it. And a man in the office said to me, "Did you get drunk yesterday?" And I said, "No, thank God, I never." He said, "What? Christmas, and you never got drunk?" Just imagine. Oh, how the devil must roar with laughter as he sees poor slaves of his saying to each other, "Merry Christmas." Just imagine. What folly, what hypocrisy, what awful slavery that man is in. My dear friend, the Savior of sinners, the sinner's friend, is he your friend? This poor world would say, "He's gone to be guest with a man that's a sinner. Thank God he came to me, a poor, hell-deserving, miserable sinner. Jesus came to me, and he drew me to himself. He chose me before I chose him. Blessed be his glorious name, my friend. He's the Savior of sinners. And thank God he's my Savior, a poor sinner, saved by the grace of God." Now notice the 8th verse. "And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord." Isn't that nice? He said unto the Lord. He was in the Lord's presence. Oh, boys and girls, men and ladies, have you been in the Lord's presence yet? "He said unto the Lord, Lord." Notice now, this was a wonderful statement for Zacchaeus to make, because here he was addressing a man that was despised and rejected of men, a man that was hated, a man the world was planning to crucify and murder. You know, it tells us, it's so solemn, the chief priests and the Pharisees thought how they might kill him. Just imagine. Is it any wonder there's so much crime in the world tonight? They killed the Prince of Peace. They murdered the sinless Savior. The world cast out the Lord of glory, and they cannot find peace under heaven tonight. They just can't find it. There's none to be found except in Christ. He has made peace through the blood of his cross. "Lord, behold, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold." Notice now he says, I give to the poor. "I restore him fourfold." Quite a lot of Zacchaeus left, wasn't there? There was lots of Zacchaeus left. You know, friends, there's Christians tonight. Maybe there's a Christian here, and you have received Jesus as your Savior, and you're saying now, "You know, I do this and I do that, and I stopped doing this and I've stopped doing that, and I just hope I'm saved. I hope that God will have mercy on me, and that after all he'll take me to heaven. I just hope I'm saved. But you know, I failed and I'm lost again." Oh, this wretched saved and lost doctrine that man has invented. You know, when the Lord Jesus saves sinners, they never can get lost again. If the preacher saves, some people say, "Well, you know, who saved you? What was the name of the preacher that saved you?" Well, we say, "There's no preacher in this world saved me, thank God. The Lord Jesus Christ saved me. No preacher can save us." Friend, if the preacher saves you, you can be lost again. But if Jesus saves you, you never can be lost. For he said, notice these words, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them." Isn't that nice? Doesn't say they know me, but "I know them, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to pluck them out of my hand, my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." Now, if you notice that verse, beloved friends, it's found in the 10th chapter of John. You will find that the minute Jesus said those words, the Jews picked up stones to stone him. And if you turn back to the 8th chapter of John, you'll hear the Savior saying, when the Jews said to him, "Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham?" And Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." The Jews picked up stones to stone him twice. Notice now. First of all, when he told who he was. And second, when he told his sheep were saved for eternity. the Jews under the devil picked up stones to stone Christ. Why? Because the devil opposes those two grand and glorious God-given eternal truths as to the deity of Christ and as to the eternal security of the sheep of Christ. The Bible tells us that the Jews picked up those stones, but who was behind the Jews? Satan. Because Satan hates those truths, and there is many of God's people tonight who are held captive by the devil because they don't know whether they're saved or lost. They never find out the truth of eternal security because they think it's Christ and me. A Roman Catholic priest told us on the bus some years ago in Montreal, this is the way of salvation. Christ does his part at the cross, you do your part, and Christ's part and your part brings you into salvation. That is not true. My friends, that is not true. Christ did it all, 100%. Christ did it all, 100%. Now, the little poem, I like it so much, it says this. I cannot work my soul to save, for all the work's been done. But I can work like any slave from love to God's dear son. We don't work to get saved. We work because we are saved. We work for the Lord, not to get saved, not to add to our salvation, but because we're his by the grace of God. Oh, dear young men tonight, you young Christians here, you young ladies who are Christians, are you living for Christ? Are you found at the prayer meeting? When we come here on Friday night, how many seats are empty? How many seats are empty? You know, the world's not like that. In the great city where we live, you know, there's football games and hockey games. You know, these people, they're brave people. They stand out in the cold, 10 below zero. They don't care about 10 below zero. It can rain and pour rain. Why, they line up for blocks to see a football game. Why? Because they're in earnest. They want to see the game. Nothing's going to stop them. But isn't it a strange thing how Christians, they're afraid of a few drops of rain. They're afraid of a little bit of a cold breeze blowing. Oh, dear Christians, let us be found at the prayer meeting. Let us be found at the Bible reading. Jesus is there in the midst. And when we stay away, we're missing the Lord's presence. Do we believe it? We're missing the presence of Christ. Well, this man owned that Jesus was his Lord, but he was going to do something. He was going to give something back. Four times, fourfold I'll restore. Notice what the Lord says in the ninth verse. And Jesus said unto him, this day, isn't that nice, this day, isn't that a blessed thing? This day is salvation come to this house. Why, the Savior was there. Isn't it wonderful, friends? We get so used to reading these chapters, maybe we miss what we might call the cream in the Word of God. We get so used to reading these things. Notice these words. This day is salvation come to this house. And there, sitting at the table with Zacchaeus, was the Savior. Oh, see him, friends. With the eye of faith, let's look back to the home of Zacchaeus. Let us see that blessed man. Oh, that lovely face. That lovely face of the Savior. See that happy face. Yes, surely he was a man of sorrows. But, beloved friends, there was never a happier man in this world than the Lord Jesus. He always did his Father's will. Oh, he was a man of sorrows. He was, beloved. We know he was. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. But I like to think of that blessed face. As he sat at that table and said to Zacchaeus, this day is salvation come to this house. For the Son of Man is come. Notice he's come. What for? To seek. To seek and to save that which is lost. There's another verse that says, the Son of Man has come to save that which is lost, which I believe refers to children who have not reached the age of responsibility. But when it comes to those who have reached the age of responsibility, it says he's come to seek and to save that which is lost. Oh, is there somebody tonight in this hall that's lost? That's lost. On the way to a lost eternity. Down you're going the broad road to destruction. And all the power of hell is against you to drag you down to the courts of the damned, to the dungeons of hell. I think it was last week we said this. at Glendale, it bears repeating. People really don't believe there's a hell. I'm sure there's people come to our gospel meetings that really down deep in their hearts, they don't believe there's a hell. But I believe there's a hell. And as many Christians in this room believe there's a hell, why do we believe it? Because we're glad that men go there? No, indeed we're not. We believe it because the only man who never told a lie told us that there shall be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. My friend, tonight on that cross, I tell you, 2,000 years ago, the Savior died for sinners. He shed his precious blood. He said, "It is finished." He bowed his head and gave up the ghost. He died for sinners. He's a Savior. He says, "Whosoever will may come and take the water of life freely. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." Isn't that wonderful? Aren't those lovely words? "Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." No matter who you are, you may be black with sin. You may be absolutely black with sin, so that your parents and your uncles and aunts will say, "I don't want to even look at him. He's too bad to look at." But Jesus says, "Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." He's the sinner's friend. Oh, beloved friend, tonight before I pray, is there somebody in this room? Is there a girl here tonight? Or a little boy, or a man, or a lady who will say, "Tonight, tonight, I'll receive Christ." Will you just take your place before God as a sinner? Just take that place before God as a sinner and say, "I'm a sinner. Oh, Lord, I'm a sinner. But I believe God's record that you died on the cross for me. And you know the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, will cleanse you from all sin." Isn't that blessed? And think of it, my friend. A God with an infinite mind says, "Your sins and iniquities will I remember no more forever." That's the old story. In the new year, the old story of Jesus and his love. What a Savior! What a Savior Jesus is! Oh, what love, what grace this is! Is he your Savior? Friends, listen. If the Lord gave the shout now, what would you do if you were found in the Los Angeles meeting room and these chairs all by yourself? Everybody was gone to glory and you were left behind. What would you do? You need the Savior. He loves you. He died for you. He wants you. God loves you. God himself loves you. He proved his love at the cross. Christ died for sinners. The Holy Spirit would turn you to Christ tonight. And by the grace of God, the speaker who stands here, a poor sinner saved by the grace of God, points you to one. Not the angels, not the Virgin Mary, not the saints, but to that blessed one, the Savior of sinners, the Lord Jesus Christ. Will you have Christ tonight? Will you leave that room again, boys and girls? After the meeting, I'd love to shake hands with you. If you are a Christian, won't you say tonight, "I belong to the Lord Jesus Christ"? If I told this story the other night, please forgive me. I love these true stories. A brother in Montreal used to say, "Brother, when you tell stories that are true. Stories you know in your own life are true." This little boy sent me a note. "Put it under my bedroom door with these words on it. Tonight, tonight I was saved." Isn't that wonderful? Oh, how glad I was to get that note. But up there in the glory, the angels of God rejoiced that there was another sinner who received Christ. Will you receive tonight Christ as your personal Savior? And then, just before I pray, that verse, that wonderful verse, Romans 10 and 9, "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord," just like Zacchaeus did here, "Lord," he says, "and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." Who says so? God says so. Will you believe God tonight and receive Christ as your personal Savior and Lord?